Hey, yo. Check it. Hey, what's up, humans?
The one telling everyone they're doing everything wrong because I know exactly what's right. It's more like I'm telling everyone they're doing everything wrong because in the world that I see, they're not doing it right, you know?
That was local visual artist and musician and DJ Stan Chisholm. He's not even 30 years old, and yet he seems to have a lot of certainty about what he's doing. I'm Nancy Fowler.
And I'm Willis Ryder Arnold. And this is Cut and Paste. Our conversation with Stan was pretty ranging. We discussed his artwork and his music and how those two things intersect.
Yeah, he was a really interesting guy to talk to because in some ways he seems to be like full of contradictions, but in other ways they kind of all come together and it all works out.
Yeah, it's true. He said that art is entertainment even if he's talking about dark subject matter. So that's actually one of the first things that we asked him about.
That comes from a feeling I started to have after going, you know, having my own shows, but also going to a lot of art openings. And just like no matter how serious the weight of the work is, it still feels like a celebration when you're at an exhibition or any type of, you know, major opening. And I mean, it's not really, you know, I'm sure if you like zoomed in and, you know, listened to every conversation, I'm sure there's, you know, meaningful, heavy conversations, you know, conversations that are as heavy as the content. But if you just take a picture of the scene, it's people with wine glasses and everyone's dressed nice and, you know, people are cracking jokes outside. You know, it's like it's this strange thing. And I do feel, you know, a lot of art is entertainment, just period, no matter how serious or no matter how therapeutic it is. You know, if you're coming from the outside, like if you enjoy having heavy things to think about, if you enjoy perplexing things to think about and, you know, kind of stepping outside of what you know and what has already happened, then that's something you're doing for entertainment.
So what are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm working with the Screwed Arts Collective. We've got, we're installing work over at Florissant Valley Community College. And the opening will be the 15th of this month. And we're all kind of taking a different approach where we're collaborating more on smaller panels as opposed to these large-scale paintings, as well as showing individual work. I was up till 5 a.m. last night cutting out 4-inch thick letters out of foam. So it's, and I've never worked with that thick of foam, so I'm kind of, you know, having flashbacks already. I've also got two pretty big shows coming up this fall with a band that I just put together this past spring called The Only Ensemble. So we're in the process of creating original works or at least recording sounds and processing our own samples for the show on the 29th. At City Museum and in November 31st at Off-Broadway for So Many Dynamos release party.
So I'm a little bit curious, you know, you work both in visual art or something that's traditionally called visual art, and then you also work in music. How do you see those two aesthetics working together?
Lately, I've been thinking a lot more about, you know, like with rap music, there's so many lyrics and I get caught up so much in you know, doing something too much, being too much on one side or being too specific. I try my hardest to not, like, deliberately reference noticeable objects and things and places, you know, proper nouns. I try to avoid proper nouns in my lyrics. And, you know, so in that, I end up thinking about these pieces as being just, like, really surreal. You know, it's, you can jump from topic to topic and, you know, the listener will kind of fill in that space or it'll click in later on in the song or later that day, you know, whatever. So I've kind of been comparing them that way as, you know, having two different realities. You know, it's like the physical object in a painting and the place that it's in and the person who's witnessing it, where with the music it's the time in between, you know, identifiable moments and happenings and objects. And the next, you know, so it's fuzzy, but that's kind of how I think about it.
Can you describe, say, just an example, just one text piece that maybe we might see at the show at Merrimack, did you say?
Well,
to describe what the viewer might see and feel, experience possibly, or?
There's one line that I chose for that one. It's a very recent one that I wrote, and it's hard time sleeping on your favorite terrain. I think it's a locational thing very much. I think it's a surface thing. You know, a lot of, you know, one may come in and see it as, you know, personally what their favorite place is, you know, and why they're having a hard time. You know, it's really just a line that's meant to keep you up at night. You know, I think it goes a lot of different ways. But ultimately, I think that's what it's for. You know, the idea of terrain and, like, surface, and that's something that's important to us as painters. So that it's got, like, a direct reference to the artwork. The way it's installed, the word terrain is pretty close to the floor, so you kind of think about where you're standing and where and how you sleep, where you sleep. Are you sleeping on the floor? Are you sleeping on the bed? Usually it's closer to the ground. You know, like, how you feel about your favorite place at that time and, you know, just what usually there's some hardship going on and there's something that's not right, you know, about your place, about where you live.
I hate the lack of education. By high school, I hated every TV station.
I try to, first off, I write, like I said, I just kind of write a lot, and there's a lot of different moments that I'm thinking of, so I try to keep a collection of it, but I try to pick the ones that are kind of scratching at me a little bit, and I think that one just kind of makes sense.
And then if something just keeps, like you said, gnawing at you, then that tells you you want to pay attention?
That's what I do. I like text work. I like trying to pick the caption for the moment. And usually it's a lot easier because I get to pick 100 of them, and they just kind of show up when they want.
You've said the word commentary a couple times during this conversation, and I'm interested because a lot of your lyrics are pretty critical, and then there seems to be a critical element to your visual work as well. How important do you think it is to have a critical element to the arts?
You know, sometimes I feel that people make work that is obviously critical, and it doesn't resonate well. Like, I think sometimes people do that because it's got, like, a rebellious edge to it, which it does, and that is appealing, but not all the time if it's not natural, you know? And I do feel like a lot of my commentary is very surreal, you know? It's like it's somewhere else. It's not always in 2015 or in a year that's ever happened or in a place that's ever happened, but to me, I think that's the fun part about writing, is kind of creating this different space, creating this different atmosphere that may resonate to you exactly where you are in that moment, or may resonate with you exactly where you were a few years ago. But I try not to, you know, because I don't know everything, you know. I don't want to come off as the one telling everyone they're doing everything wrong because I know exactly what's right. It's more like I'm telling everyone they're doing everything wrong because in the world that I see, they're not doing it right. You know, it's a different thing. That's the joy of making art, is creating a different place. You know.
How do you feel that you're both received and supported in St. Louis?
I feel fairly supported. I feel pretty supported, and I always have since I was young. You know, I was involved in the Contemporary Art Museum, and I was president of art club in high school, you know. I've always drawn, so I don't feel like I owe my talents to anyone, but I do feel a lot of my experiences are owed to, you know, like Justin Tolentino, who I met at a young age and just, like, got to go out to shows and met all sorts of people that I never would have met, you know. I feel very supported from a young age, and I meet people that have known of my work for years, and that's, you know, that's really humbling. You know, like people who are older and younger than me that have known of my work for 10 years. And it's like, whoa, that's crazy, you know. And, you know, but it's nice to know that even then they don't have everything figured out. They haven't seen all of the work, but maybe it's been a few years since they've seen it. So, like, oh, that's cool that you're doing this now, you know. So,
how hard or easy is it to make a living being a musician and an artist in St. Louis?
You know, one way I could say it's great because we make it happen without money and with pure creativity and pure honest interest. And I think that's one of the things that people really like about St. Louis, is that the people here are genuine and people are here on purpose. But the other side of it is we should all be getting paid. We should all have more things, and there should be, you know, more interesting things to do and see.
That was artist, musician, and DJ Stan Chisholm, who sometimes goes by 18 and counting. He was discussing kind of all of his art and the intersection between his music and his visual work.
And this is Cut and Paste, produced by Willis Ryder Arnold
and Nancy Fowler,
with the help of our editor, Donna Carando.
The music you heard throughout the show was produced by Stan Chisholm, with the intro and outro produced by local musician Eric Hall.
Cut and Paste is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, and you can find us online or through multiple podcast services.